Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When we hear the reading from Matthew 15, it may hurt your ears. Why would Jesus not answer this woman's request? Why does he string her along the way he does? We don't know. But we know that our own prayers are not always answered in the moment that we ask. Perhaps there's something to learn from this woman, this beloved saint, and her faith, this woman who trusted in the word of her Savior and did not stop bringing to remembrance her and her daughter's needs. This lady's not asking for a nicer house or a more comfortable life or even simply physical well-being and healing. Her daughter is possessed by a demon. She's in the clutches of Satan. And knowing this, the believing mother comes to Jesus, the very Son of David, the Lord of life, and prays, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David." She's not looking for a miracle worker who can make her daughter better. She's not even praying for her daughter in this particular instance. But rather, she's praying for herself. The mother needs mercy. Mercy from the only one who can snatch her daughter out of Satan's powerful grasp and bring her soul relief. That is the Lord, the Son of David. He's the only one who can do such a thing. So Jesus is not only her hope, but he is also our only hope for salvation. Let these words from our own baptismal rite sink into your ears. The Word of God teaches that we are all conceived and born sinful and are under the power and dominion of Satan until Christ claims us as his own. That means that everyone is in the grip of Satan until the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ shines upon them. We have a lot of people to be praying for because they are in the grasp of Satan. And only Jesus can do anything about it. Yet we can be the ones through whom our Lord continues his work to seek and save the lost. Notice how this woman comes to Jesus. She confesses him as he makes himself known in his word, the Son of David, the Messiah. She recognizes him as the one who has been sent by God, who is God himself in the flesh. This is the content and goal of all of our Lord's preaching, that people see him and know him as their Messiah, as their champion, their redeemer from the pit of utter despair and eternal death. And she recognizes him as such. But still, Jesus seems to ignore her. This mother is in great suffering and anguish, and she has faith. So much for the idea that faith in Jesus makes everything in our lives a cakewalk. Our Lord does not answer her a word as she pleads. At least not at first. And still, she clings to him. Her prayers do not cease. Be diligent in your own prayers about the conversion of your loved ones. Pray often for those who you know who need to be baptized, or who have been baptized but have seemingly walked away from the faith that they received. Pray to Jesus, for he is the one who can do something about it. Be like this woman. She holds God to his promise. She knows his word and throws his word back at him. She might as well be saying, "Jesus, Lord, I know you say you love little children. You even say, suffer the little children to your disciples and not to hinder them. You want children around you. I've heard it from your own mouth. Your servant prays, do not forget this little one, your dear child. The one whom you love suffers terribly under the oppression of this demon. Love this little one, and do not break the weak reed that is me and my child. I, Lord, cannot bear to watch what's happening, but not my will be done, but yours be done. Help me to trust in your provision, O Lord." This woman, this mother, is persistent in her prayer for herself and for her daughter, so much so that the disciples want to just send her away. They want Jesus just to attend to the prayer, just to shut her up. They see this woman as an embarrassment. And still, Jesus does not just give in. And even when he does speak, he seems to throw yet another obstacle in the way. She's not of the house of Abraham. She's not a Jew. She's a Gentile. She has no claim, no standing before Jesus. And Jesus then says something that's probably harsh to our ears. "I was not sent except for the lost sheep of the house of Israel." What do we make of this? And what does this lady do? She doesn't hang her head and walk away. She doesn't become angry with Jesus' rhetoric. Nor does she throw caution to the wind and curse God and live in a manner that's in open rebellion and rejection of him. Though the world would be very proud if she would. Instead, what does this lady of faith do? Those words of Jesus drive her even closer to her Lord. Those words cause her to go to her knees in front of him, bowing before him. In other words, to worship him even more. The remarks send her to her knees. They're words of the law that she hears. But in the face of, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel," she continues to worship him. It drives her deeper into her trust and her hope, deeper into her faith that clings to the promise that God hears the prayers of all who call out to him for mercy. Her faith has an object, focused on one person and one person alone, Jesus Christ. It's not faith and faith, it's faith in Christ that this woman has. No matter how foolish it may seem, she's trusting every single word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And she reminds him, "You say you are good, so be good now." So she cries out again, "Help me, Lord." And what does then our Lord do? It seems like this is a wrestling match, doesn't it? He says, "I was not sent for the likes of you." She says, "Help me, Lord," after bowing down. And now he even seems to double down again. He calls her a dog. Imagine if that was run in the press today. Political commentators have been fired for far less offensive name-calling. Jesus calls this woman a dog. She's a Gentile. She is, according to the day. But you and I also should be called dogs. Consider all these things. We can talk all we want about the goodness and graciousness of God. We can lay out the gospel message that Jesus died for the sins of the world and rose from the dead on the third day, that he has taken away our sins and your sins. We can try to say it as winsomely as humanly possible. But without the reality that we have no right to receive this grace and forgiveness because of our sins, because of who and what we are, being dogs, we have no real understanding of the gospel. We need to hear what the Lord says in his law to know how much we actually need the gospel. So Jesus preaches the full sternness of the law to this woman. He does it to you as well. The truth is, you and I have no right to be here at all. We have no right to sit at God's table. We have no right to ask for his mercy. I have no right to really be here. We approach God at our own peril, for he owes us nothing. So do not think that he is impressed by your ability to recount the catechism or recite all its meanings or recite Luke chapter 2 in the King James or any other well-laid intentions. You are a dog. You have behaved despicably in one way or another, shamefully even in some cases. And what can we say to all of that that comes down from our Lord? There are two ways that a person can respond. You can get mad, you can get defensive, and you can deny it. You can become self-righteous and say that that's not the kind of God that I want, that I need my sin more than I need God. You can't talk to me that way. Don't give me all that Bible talk and all that stuff about sin, hell, and repentance. You can vainly proclaim, I'll show you, God. I'll cut myself off. I'll throw a temper tantrum the world has never seen. I'd rather go to hell than worship the likes of you. And if you do, the demons will do what passes in hell for rejoicing. And sooner than you think, you'll join them there. That's a very unfortunate and but all too common way of responding to the law of God. But there is another way, a way in which the holy angels in heaven rejoice. We can repent. Repentance is the admission that what God says in his word is true. It is speaking with the woman, yes, Lord, I am that dog. I wish it were not so, but it is. I have sinned by my fault, by my own fault, by my own most grievous fault. It's one half of repentance, admitting that you are a sinner. And the other half is trusting that God is merciful and that he forgives our sins. And without the second half of that repentance, we only have sorrow and despair. But trust in forgiveness continues that confession, saying, yes, I am the dog. I have no merit or worthiness in me, but I believe that you are merciful and kind, for that is what you have said of yourself, that you forgive sin and love the sinner and are gracious. Even as you are strict and unbending, you show mercy. And I believe that for Jesus' sake, you declare me righteous and holy. This is the response that we hear from the woman. She throws herself down to worship before Jesus' words, even when they are harsh. And she embraces every single word. She says, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. She embraces the title, and she trusts that Jesus really wants to give her and her daughter the crumb of life-giving bread. She does not want him to throw the food of the children down to the ground. She merely desires to eat the crumbs that fall from his own hand. And that will be enough. For that crumb can and will be multiplied multiple times over. I know who you are, she says. You are the son of David, the Messiah. You have come to seek and save the lost. Save me, a lost and condemned person. Save my daughter as well. And our Lord does. From that very hour, her daughter is saved. The woman is a hero of faith, like the world has seldom seen. We see today what faith is and how faith lives even among Gentiles. Faith is not an emotional stirring that thinks God must be favorably inclined towards us. It's rather the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Our Lord Jesus Christ was not torturing or tempting this woman, but rather he was exercising her faith, strengthening her, and teaching her to live by the word of God and not by appearances. He did her the greatest service. In her suffering, he drew her closer to himself. And in the end, he relented. He gave her more hope than she could ever have requested and gave her more than she could have ever requested. Her daughter is saved. And she is an example for the church into the life everlasting. Demons still prey on children. There are all kinds of horrors that occur in even a safe place like this. The supernatural evil is just beyond the world itself. There's only one solution for such demonic evil: the Lord Jesus Christ and his suffering, death, and resurrection. He is stronger than the demons. Let us pray for our own children to the Son of David with no less zeal than this woman. Let us pray for his mercy, that he would deliver us, and that he will make his salvation known quickly, that his righteousness be revealed unto all the world. The Lord Jesus did not ignore this woman, nor does he ignore your prayers, but rather he hears them and he gladly answers them. He came for dogs like me and you, who could not stand on their own. He came to pay your ransom, to redeem you from the demons, to break the chains that they have on you. He has come to bind up your broken hearts and to give you life forever in him. And now he invites you to recline at his table. He has raised up sons and daughters of Abraham who are not of the same blood, but rather of the same faith. You are forgiven, renewed, made holy, and blessed as he gives you far more than crumbs. He remembers you, remembers all of us in our state of need, and graciously gives us himself, that we may be saved. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit bless you and preserve you unto life everlasting. Amen.